Intervju Radija Študent.
Dobar dan, lep pozdrav terminu za Ereš intervju. Tokrat gostimo Seta Horvica pod pseudonimom Sutek. In sicer danes večer nastopi v klubu K4, gre pa za enega zelo zanimivega elektronskega ustvarjalca, pa mislim, da bomo tudi marsikaj zanimivega zapovedati. So, hello, Seth. You've been in Ljubljana since yesterday.
Yes, right.
Did you have maybe some time to get some impressions of the city already?
Instead of really getting an impression of the city, today we went and saw some caves near the coast that were really amazing.
Maybe Postojnska jama is it?
I forget the name of the, which it's not the most famous one.
Maybe Škocjanske.
It's the biggest one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so we spent the day there and on the coast. And
Nice.
That was amazing. That was beautiful.
Is this your first time here in Slovenia?
Yes.
Last night, you know, David Guetta was having a gig here. Did you attend it? No.
I didn't, but I heard about it and I was tempted.
Did you see him before maybe?
No.
He apparently Paris Hilton flew in to attend the party. So did you maybe invite someone to, you know, fly in into your party tonight?
Yeah,
someone famous
Paris,
like that.
Paris actually came for my party. She's just trying to
warming
look cool
up.
by going to both. She didn't want to tell anyone about my keep it underground, but she'll be there tonight.
Excellent. So, you know, for example, David Guetta is well famous in the States as well. And people there, I saw a documentary about him, I like to put him in the context of rave music, which I kind of don't agree with. It's kind of even maybe a bit disrespectful, you know, to the artists that started the whole dance electronic music in Detroit in Chicago. What are your thoughts on that?
If you talk to some of the artists from Detroit and Chicago in the early days, though, they were kind of against the rave scene in a sense. They didn't really like the kind of UK breakbeat rave thing that was happening, a lot of them. So, you know, it's hard when you talk about those labels and what they mean to different people, but if people want to call David Guetta rave, it's kind of okay with me. That word has been through the washing machine for so many years. It's hard to know exactly what it means, but I guess it doesn't refer that much to music anymore. It's like a, I mean, but if you think of the way the music functions, it's similar. So it's getting a whole bunch of people together to dance to a repetitive beat. That you could say that in the simplest definition of rave that works, but it's hard to know how you how would you define what makes rave different from that type of atmosphere?
Well, basically my understanding of rave music is, as you mentioned, what started in the UK, you know, in the early 90s, maybe end of the 80s, like with acid house and stuff like that. And nowadays rave is much broader term, like it just stands for a electronic party maybe, or something like that. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, I think of it as a, well, I guess rave, what rave meant to me when I started going to raves in the early 90s was it had to be something illegal.
So right.
If it's in a stadium and it's like $100 tickets and it's promoted on billboards everywhere, that's what kind of, in my definition of it, in my memory of it, it was about going to something really underground that was usually illegal and that you had to find out about in a very secretive way, that was truly somehow countercultural. At least it felt that way. So yeah, there's a difference.
I agree completely. So you said you started going to raves in early 90s. You grew up in the West Coast, is that so?
Yeah,
Los Angeles,
I grew up in
San
Los Angeles, but I moved to Berkeley, which is right near San Francisco, and I studied at the university there. I moved up there in 1991 when I was 17, and that's when I discovered raves there.
So this electronic music was in the States wasn't just focused more around Chicago and Detroit, it went in all other parts as well.
Yeah, well, San Francisco was a huge house music city in the early mid-90s, it was house dominated. So, and there was kind of a West Coast house sound. I never was that into the house thing. I didn't embrace it that much, but I liked the parties. I mean, of course, there were a bunch of other weird things, like, I mean, Aphex Twin played there in like 1993, and we had Psychic TV. Mm-hmm. You know, they were from the UK, and they were exiled from the UK and moved to California.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were doing some really weird rave kind of shows mm-hmm. that were very memorable.
Did you maybe get a chance to see Throbbing Gristle when they regrouped?
I did, actually. I saw their show in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. I saw them as well. It was quite nice, actually.
It was nice to see. I mean, it was nice to see them together and see the show. I'm sure that it doesn't compare to what the energy was like at one of the original shows, but it felt kind of
original
like a
reunion. Original shows, you saw them first as a Throbbing Gristle?
I didn't. I've only seen video footage of it.
Uh-huh.
But there was.
If you compare it maybe to Psychic TV, which you saw, is there a similarity between the two? Between the two shows?
Well, I don't know. The really memorable Psychic TV show that I saw was in a kind of abandoned building that used to be like a whorehouse or something like this. And
so it gave it a totally different atmosphere.
Yeah, but you know, Throbbing Gristle never really made techno. They made some tracks that had beats, but Psychic TV for a few years was like really embracing the acid house movement. And that was kind of the height of that period for them. So they were really making acid house music.
Mm-hmm. I didn't
doing
know
the smiley
that.
Faces and everything, like some of the designs and everything. That for a couple of years, they were really embracing that aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. So you got in touch with techno through raves or through records? Do you remember what was your entry point to techno?
Well, it kind of happened at the same time, I guess. So I was going to the raves in the early 90s and started buying records at the same time. But I guess I was going to the parties for a couple years before I really tried to DJ, tried to mix
and
the records.
What kind of music were you playing when you started DJing? Music from Detroit?
I mean, the first couple of things I can really remember buying from that time, I mean, I bought some of the really cheesy rave music that was coming out. It was like compilations with funny rave names, rave, you know,
Rave Zone and stuff like that.
Whatever, things like that. Mm. They had like Altern 8 and, you know, Two Bad Mice and those like classic rave tracks. So that might have been the beginning. And then I discovered sort of more of the roots and started following Underground Resistance in Detroit. And, you know, I remember discovering the first Aphex Twin records and being really excited about that at the time.
Which record in particular do you maybe remember, which was the one that really dragged you toward?
Yeah, well, there's a very specific experience. I was at a show. It was a rave, really. It was the headlining act was The Prodigy, and opening for The Prodigy was Moby, and this is when their music was straight up rave music. Mm-hmm. And opening for Moby was Cybersonic, which was Richie Houghton and Dan Bell. So they were like the unknown opening act. And then in the back room was Space-Time Continuum, who's a guy named Jonah Sharp, who's from the UK, but was based in the Bay Area. And I went back into this ambient room. Mm-hmm. I kind of miss these ambient rooms. They don't exist anymore, but there was always a room at the back of these parties.
Like a chill-out room?
Yeah, chill-out room where lots of weird music would be played. And he was playing the Selected Ambient Works Volume 1, like both of the records from the on the turntables. And I had no idea what it was. I just saw this symbol. It was just this black symbol. Mm-hmm. And I was under the influence of some psychedelics at the time and like saw those symbols and was kind of like mesmerized, like thought this was something from outer space. And then when I finally discovered what it was, like 2 weeks later, it was like a real revelation, because I only identified it by the symbol. I didn't know what it was. So that had a big impression.
Mm-hmm. So this was probably when you started making your own music. Was it somewhere in mid 90s, I think?
Yeah.
Firstly, you were quite, I mean, techno in itself is one of those music expressions that follow certain rules. And you, on the other hand, always try to you know, goes sort of out of the box, not following those rules so strictly. So probably this music, as you were saying, Aphex Twin and all this stuff you saw, was the reason you saw over this techno idiom or...
Yeah, I wouldn't really attribute it to Aphex Twin so much, because I don't actually consider his music that experimental anymore, but I think that I would really attribute it to working at the radio station, actually, at the university. For so that's one of the things I got involved with very early on as a student. I was going to raves and doing this stuff, collecting records, but I was DJing at a radio station not too different from this type of station, probably, at the university. And that was where I kind of discovered all kinds of music, like way outside of techno even. And so that, I think that experience, like discovering things like, you know, free jazz and improvised music and like really extreme noise music and things like contemporary classical avant-garde music, that being exposed to that stuff always was pulling me outside of techno. Even as I was making techno, I was kind of pulling away from it, pulling away from club music, even though I was making club music, you know.
And all this music you got in touch with, this was all held in Berkeley University. Because internet at that time was not as we know it today, you know. Nowadays it's really easy to get to know new music, but back then...
I had an email address back then, but in order to check my email, I had to use like a command line DOS kind of interface. Right. That was how developed the internet was.
Lately you've been, in the recent years, you've been quite involved in making piano music. When did this interest in piano occur? Is this from earlier or just in recent years?
No, it happened about 7 or 8 years ago that I think as the productions I was making as Sutek were kind of drifting into a lot of different directions, at some point I really wanted to make a break in a way, so I decided to start studying the piano. I had never learned a non-electronic instrument before at all as a kid, so it was kind of a chance to like start something new. I started studying piano with a teacher and studying music theory and things like that, and that led to me going back to school to study in a graduate program, and then I just kind of stuck with the piano in a sense. There's something about that instrument that I'm really drawn to in its depth and the diversity of sounds you can get from it.
It's kind of like the ultimate instrument in a way.
Yeah, and I like this strange contradiction between the depth and the diversity of sound and the simplicity of the interface, which is just sort of like a bunch of buttons in a way, like much less complex than a violin, for example, where the bow can touch the strings in any of an infinite number of ways. Really, on a piano, you can just press buttons, and yet it can do so much with that.
There's the prepared piano where you can also touch strings and stuff.
Sure, you can do that, but I actually, in all the stuff that I worked on for the piano, I limited myself to just pressing the buttons.
You released a piano album this year under your own name. And also, when I asked you, if you could send me a selection of songs that inspired your Sutek work under Sutek, you sent a list which could be sort of related to techno music, even though it goes really like I know Scott Raymond goes 50 years back. I think he was working in the 60s and stuff. But you also said that if you would pick artists that influenced you in a broader way, you would also pick artists like, composers like Brahms or Schoenberg. Right. And you also worked with, you performed Eric Satie work, I think.
Yes.
And also you were involved in a project of reworks of Ryuichi Sakamoto. Is that so?
Yes, that was something called Chain Music, and I wasn't invited directly by him, but he started this project that was in a way a protest of the Iraq War, He started with one artist and gave them some music to change and add something to, and then that artist would pass it on to another. Mm-hmm. And it got down to 10 or 12 artists, and the one before me selected me. It was a friend of mine from Paris, so
right.
I got into that mm-hmm. chain of
nice.
Music. Yeah.
How do you see this? He's quite involved with, at least he was in the recent years, with Karsten Nikolai and also Feines, and they were sort of combining the piano and electronic music. You, on the other hand, you said that a piano was sort of way out of techno music. So do you see, when it comes to you and your music, these two sides, the techno sides and piano side, totally apart, or do you look for some common ideal? Or
I think that no matter how hard I try to keep them totally separate, they won't be completely separate. But I do see there's a very different approach that I take to composing the piano music than I would to make a Sutek track. It's a very different mentality. So, you know, I can always find some similarity. In fact, some of the piano music I made, which is based on very strict processes that I've devised, that it's sort of algorithmic in a way, sort of, mm-hmm. It's not expressive at all in the normal sense of the word. And a lot of the music I did as Sutek was much more kind of exploratory and sort of spontaneous, whatever happens in the studio. The piano music is very much composed with a strict framework in mind from the beginning. And yet there's something still techno about some of the piano pieces that I've made.
Right.
It could be partly a coincidence, but I think it's something about an aesthetic that I'm drawn to.
Mm-hmm. I think especially Erik Satie's aesthetic really sort of inspired lots of electronic musicians, especially those obviously in oriented more in ambient music.
Yeah.
And you were mentioning Aphex Twin. He was actually, he did some tracks for the Drax album with prepared piano or uh-huh. modified piano. So when you work with piano, is it always just piano, or do you approach it with some electronic instrumentation as well?
So far I've really tried to keep things limited. I think that's a real break from the approach in the past. When I make music as Sutek, I kind of was doing it from this perspective that anything is possible, all tools are available to me, and that I should just, you know, whatever I'm feeling like this day or whatever I want to explore, I'm just going to go there and use any sound. And when I started working with the piano, I wanted to impose more limitations. So I just decided that at least for the first series of work, it was going to be piano and piano alone. Of course, it's controlled by a computer, mm-hmm. so that brings a different element into it. But sonically, I didn't want to put things in the piano or modify things. I wanted to just see what I could get from the pure playing of the piano itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of enjoying more limitations these days in how I approach music. So not just sort of thinking anything's possible on any given day, but really working to refine some technique or approach, you know.
Sounds excellent. We're kind of getting towards the end of the interview, so just so that people don't get impression that you will do a piano recital tonight, you know, maybe just a couple of more questions about techno or your set in particular tonight. What makes when are you satisfied with your gig? When the atmosphere is right, or how do you approach a live set? Is it nowadays, is it, for example, in the background we are listening to your famous Incest Live record, which is sort of how you approach, or at least how you approached doing live shows in the past. Is it still like this nowadays, in this way?
Not exactly, but also the Incest Live album is not an accurate representation of what I would do in a live setting. It's sort of a ideal studio construction based on the material from the live performances.
Mm-hmm.
But I've actually gotten more and more into planning over the years, so I prepare quite a bit for each set. But tonight is more of a DJ set than of my own music, but it's kind of mixed in and it has bits and pieces. So I'm playing for 2 hours and it'll be a mixture, but it won't. This Incest album is 10 years old, so it's not going to be quite like that. It's kind of following more of this idea of a slightly narrower approach, although I hope it won't be monotonous for people, but I think it's a little bit more focused and a little bit more refined, but it'll be heavily focused on the dance floor the whole time. I hope people will respond to that.
Sounds excellent. I saw some playlists of your recent live sets, and it seems that you still quite follow the current electronic music scene or music in general. I mean, there were some tracks taken out from like dubstep and stuff like that. Are you obviously, what is your impression of the electronic music scene today, maybe compared to 10 years ago?
I drifted away from it for a few years when I was doing my master's degree and a little bit before that, and when I was getting into the piano stuff, I stopped paying attention for a while. It gets to be difficult after a while to keep up. There's so much stuff coming out all the time, and I just sort of took a break. But this year, this past year, I've been trying to keep up a little bit more and see where things have gone. And I've got a lot of new stuff to play, and I like, you know, hearing these kind of different dubstep derived styles. I don't like all of the music, but I sort of try and see what's happening with the different ideas, and I usually find tracks from outside the, you know, I try and find some tracks that are outside of the narrow techno focus that still somehow relate and that I can mix in and create something new from that.
Excellent. Sounds excellent. So this was quite a nice invitation for everyone to join in tonight and maybe see you in Paris, as you say.
Yeah.
Paris Hilton, yeah. Thank
She'll
you.
Be there. If you want to see Paris Hilton, come tonight to Club K4.
Okay, excellent.
Promise.
So, thank you very much for
Thanks
taking the time. To je bil torej pogovor s Setom Horvicom oziroma Sutekom, ki ga danes večer lahko vidite v K4. Stvar se začne kot ponovadi ob 23. Prej pač s podporo domačih DJ-ev, potem pa kot rečen tudi ste slišali zelo zanimiv opis tega, kar bo Sutek nocoj vrtel, tako da seveda vabljeni v K4. Intervju sem pripravil Goran, lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radia Študent.